Welcome back to another episode of the Breakthrough Podcast, Discovering New Pathways. My name is Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. Man, we have a jam-packed agenda, as always. But before we get to our special guest, I do want to let you know that the Breakthrough Podcast is brought to you by the Minority Business Development Agency out of DC, and of course, EDAC at Morgan State University. So welcome back. We have been back since last month, but we are here to listen to past episodes of the Breakthrough Podcast. You know, head on over to our website, and the website is edacmorgan.com. That's edacmorgan.com. We're also on Instagram at small biz. That's ride small biz. Without further ado, let me bring into the fold my co-host, Leon Robinson IV. Hey, bro, welcome back.
Hey, Omar, welcome back, man. Pleasure to be back.
All right, good deal. All right, so today, as you can see, we have two special guests in-house, and I'm going to start as I see them and kind of move my way over. So we have Christopher Towns and Shelton Willett. And they're both from We Care and Friends. So, gentlemen, welcome to the Breakthrough Podcast.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
No problem. All right. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. You know, what is the program about We Care and Friends .org? What is it about?
You want to start out? You'd like to start out, Chris?
I mean, you go ahead. Go ahead, get it started.
So basically, We Can Friends is an organization. We started out of Annapolis, Maryland. It was a 30-year organization before we stepped on the scene, founded by a man named Larry Griffin. Larry Griffin since then has gotten dementia. And so that his legacy could continue, we jumped in and we started to rebuild, which we now call it 2.0, We Can Friends 2.0, as we got the next 30 years of helping out the communities coming forth. So what is our plan? We have certain things that we do for the communities, but it is interactive. It's not basically that we say this is what we do, but more so we say what do you need, and we react in real time to make sure that we can facilitate anything that's going on. And at the present time, it's a lot of how we call it, prison reentry or returning citizens, and economic development is the biggest issue that we run into. It's a lot of organizations doing a great job taking care of the other issues. So we try to tackle those heavy issues and take it from there and with a focus.
All right, good deal. Now, did I hear you right? Did you say 30-year organization or three-year organization?
30 years. Yep, 30, yeah. Yeah, 30 years.
Wow. We are 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive, man. That's impressive. All right, so, you know, this show is all about, you know, having, you know, those individuals who are formerly incarcerated to talk about their entrepreneurial journey, as well as bring resources on to really help individuals, you know, along their way, you know, including the entrepreneurial journey and some of the other challenges that they may have. And I'm glad to hear that you guys are doing that with yours on economic development. So when somebody, you know, comes home, do they come seek you guys out, or do you seek them as they are about to come home? Come out.
Well, with that
being said, they seek us out before they come home.
Okay.
We have a program, but we like to call it a movement called Incarcerated Kings. And that's geared, like you said, to helping our men coming home. Like you already said, so let me just a little bit about myself. You know, I'm the community outreach director and also the director of Incarcerated Kings. I went to federal prison back in 2006, came home in 2012. So, you know, I know probably a lot of other people know that, but you know the journey, what it is to come home, you know, from prison and all the different challenges you face. So with the entrepreneurship, you know, the guys are already doing business, just doing the wrong business, right? So the thing is taking that energy and said, hey, okay, we can, because there's a lot of logistics in selling drugs. I sold drugs. I went to prison for selling drugs. And so one of the things we try to deal with, like initially with our movement is with nonviolent offenders. You know, we just started with that agenda right there and working with guys. And so what we're building is like a pathway from prison, you know, into home and try to have things kind of in line. So, you know, I'm really eager to hear a lot more about what you guys do because it seems like we in step. But that's what we do. So even home, we have a lot of people contact us, people who say, hey, my husband's coming home from prison soon. And they want us to know how can we help them. And also dealing with guys outside. We're helping a lot of guys outside that is coming to our organization, you know, wanting to know what can I do? You know, because one of the things we preach is we don't really necessarily preach stop. What we say is what's your B plan? You know, let's give you another avenue, another opportunity. Because you know, sometimes when you just try to say, hey man, you stop doing this, what are you replacing it with? And so, you know, understanding the nuances of our community and our culture, you know, I think coming this way is a lot more effective. So
nice.
I like that plan B, you know, that's truly important. You know, even if you're not a formerly incarcerated individual, you always want to have a plan B and sometimes a plan C, you know. So going into, you know, I love the name Incarcerated Kings and how you are talking about that and how you are directing them to a focus to lead them on a different pathway. And that's what the tagline for this particular show is. All about pathways, you know, how do you discover that? So what are some of the activities that you all incorporate in Incarcerated Kings?
When you say activities, what are you kind of explain to me, let me, what are you saying?
So when the guys come to you, what do you do with them?
Oh, okay. Well, we try to formulate a plan. First of all, wanted to know, you know, maybe what their background is, what maybe their interests are. And then one of the things we partnered with the Annapolis Police Department. They have a program called Positive Impact. And so what we try to do was, okay, look, well, here's an opportunity to get you a certification, I think it was HVAC, plumbing and all that. So matter of fact, right now I got to pass out some certificates that was delivered to the office yesterday. And so once we get them geared and get their mind thinking on, okay, this is what I'd like to do. Then we say, okay, you know, let's get in your trade. And now let's see how we can orchestrate you into the entrepreneurship. How can we put you with the right people who can show you the way? And so that's one of the things we do. We try to take, first of all, you know, like you said, you want to know what the interests are. Once they tell you that, then we kind of gear them to, okay, this here's an avenue. And they have a lot of people who in our communities don't mind taking the opportunity to grab them by the hand and say, hey, this is step A, this is step B, because you know, a lot of times with business, the hardest part is just starting. And so to let them know that it is possible, you know, so yeah, because it, you know, it's, you know, people think it's just so far reach, but it's right there, but it's still A, B, and C, right? And so those are like the measures, that's how we work with our people.
I love that, you know, so I'm just thinking, man, you know, just imagine if, you know, I know we have some trade schools here in Baltimore, you know, just imagine if the trades was incorporated throughout all of the schools. I mean, I just wonder if there things would have been or continue to be different if individuals are picking up a trade while they're in school and they're learning. So when they come out, they can go right into an apprenticeship and begin to develop a career or create entrepreneurship opportunities. You know, just want to get your feedback on that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, anybody's feedback. You know, any thoughts about the trades? I mean, you guys are already doing the trades, which is good.
I'm not exactly sure what happened to the trades in school, because I remember all through school there was a VOTEC program, but there's a period of time that, you know, from going from a boy to a man, that I don't remember what was going on in school after I got out. So I don't know what happened, but there's no more VOTEC, but a lot of people benefited from going to the VOTEC instead of maybe pursuing college. They knew where they were going, and they ended up coming out doing pretty good. Absolutely. Same with driver's ed, things like that.
Nice. Yeah. So I do have a question, you know, for either one of you guys. Thank you for joining. My question is more so around like the motivation. Obviously, you guys are returning citizens, you know, but what made you guys want to kind of be able to give back to individuals who have experienced similar trauma as you? You know, like what was the motivation, you know, and could you kind of touch on that a little bit?
Well, for me, it was, like I said, what Shelton just said to you was that, you know, when he came to me about, hey, that's my nephew, by the way. And he was like, you know, don't you come on out here, because I've always helped people. That's, you know, you know, from growing up, you know, I've always been a giving person, but I didn't see this one coming though. It was not like I planned it. He said, oh, would you come out? And mind you, this was during the pandemic when the world was shut down. And, you know, he was like, let's just go out there, man, and just pass out some sandwiches, because people still need things. They still need services. And so we went out there, and my purpose and passion kind of came together. You know, I from working now on the nonprofit side with all the different variances, I've seen life from a different side, you know, not from the hustling side. Because I've been an entrepreneur. I had businesses and you know, and like I said, I was out there in the streets. So, you know, on this side of the coin, you see a different scenario. You really see the plight, I like to say, of our black communities or underserved communities, where like, wow, you know, we really behind. When you end up doing your thing, life is just going, you know, you don't see all the different things that's going on in our communities. And so, you know, but by being on where I'm at now in the seat that I'm sitting in, you know, I'm like, well, we gotta do something. And so me and Shelton just sat down and we talked about incarcerated. We came up with the word incarcerated king, that name, because we wanted to resonate to people who are incarcerated. When counselor comes and says there's a program going on called Incarcerated King, something to hit that inner man while you're inside. Because, you know, when you're inside, that's a whole nother feeling. You know, you feel left out. And so with that king, I wanted some that to resonate in their spirit to pique their interest. And then, like you said, being able to, even guys on the outside, you know, I remember one guy we talked to, and you know, he was like, man, I don't see myself doing this and doing that. I'm not a businessman, I just want to work. And so he was talking about, I think it was HVAC or something. And then we said, well, you know, I called, oh no, janitorial. Yeah, he wanted to just, I'm like, you know, he did buff floors in prison and stuff. And I said, well, I called him by his name and said, janitorial service. And he stopped for a minute and he just looked and he was like, oh wow. He didn't ever see himself could do that. So at that point right there, that's when I said, okay, you know what? You know, we really need to push harder with this, with the individuals on the street, you know, and so by being in the communities, getting out there in the communities and talking to brothers, you know, that's when you gotta be out there. You can't do it from the sidelines. You know, first of all, they gotta trust you. And so we, you know, once they know we're not the police and that, hey, we're here to help them, you know, people start to come to you on the low and they ain't gonna do it around everybody. They come to the sideline, oh, hey, Chris, man, can you tell me more about this? And so that's how it's been building momentum. You know, people understand and people tell people, hey, man, go talk to Shelton and Chris, man. They're about their life. They'll sit down with you, help you craft up a plan and blah, blah, blah. That makes sense too.
Man, that's awesome, man. Cause you know, I'm a returning citizen as well. I'm a millennial. And I just know when I came home in 2010, you know, there wasn't a lot of programs and resources and, you know, individuals who have transitioned from incarceration to become successful business owners and entrepreneurs that I could kind of look to and lean to. So to have this program, you know, I see, you know, great things, you know, in the future for you guys. My next question, and this will probably be my last question, is more so about the impact. Like, we've heard that you guys are making in the communities and with returning citizens, you know, could you give the community, the listeners, you know, kind of like a success story for individuals who have gone through your programs and how you guys have impacted them and, you know, a success story. I think people kind of want to hear that. And I think that could be very inspirational.
Business says,
I'm sorry, say that again.
You got it. I think it was GPS.
Oh, okay. Oh, no problem. Well, without naming a name, so we had a young man that it was in the wintertime. We was doing we had a coat drive. It was in the wintertime. We had put the music out there, because everywhere we go, what we do is when we out in the community, we set up, we bring the music out, right? You know, something about music is a common thing, it's a unifier. So we, put the old school music on, and we had some soup and everything. And so the guys up at the top of the corner, they're doing their thing, but we down at the bottom, and the people coming, getting coats, kids playing, it's cold now, everybody dancing out in the streets. So I see this dude, my nephew brought him down to me, and he hollered at me a little bit, but they look, and they're trying to see what's going on. And that's why I say the music is so important. And the guy came down to me later, and he said, "Hey, man, your nephew was telling me about, you got a program called the Incarcerated Kings, man. What's that about?" So we talked about it a little bit. And then I want to say, right before we was packing up, he said, "Man, can I come and see you tomorrow?" I said, "Sure." It was on Monday, because this was on the Saturday. So that Monday, he came and talked to me. And he said, "Man, I want to change my life." I said, "Hey, man, look, I understand." He's like, "Man, but I don't know how I'm going to feed my family." And I said, we weren't in the position to say, "Here, we can replace you with a job, $50,000 or $40,000 a year." So I said, but what I do have is an opportunity for you. I said, what I would like for you to do, I said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "Well, my dad had been doing HVAC for a while, blah, blah, blah." And so I said, "Okay." I said, but what do you want to do? He said, "Well, I kind of think I want to get into that. I said, "Well, if you got into something like that," I said, "because I see you out there on the street." That's I had seen him several times, because we walk the streets in the community that we serve. And so I said, "But have you ever thought about your own business?" I said, "You ever thought about?" I said, "Did your dad work for somebody?" He said, "Yeah, they work for somebody." I said, "Well, what about if they work for you?" And he kind of liked the sound of that. So anyway, make a long story short, we signed him up, and through this one guy, we signed up 30-something people. See, one of the things that we look at is, one person. But see, you always want to get the person of influence, because you want to get the leader. If you can get to the leaders, the other follow, right? And so through that one person, when they seen the what's his name came out here on the streets, he went to that program, because at first they ain't gonna do nothing. They just talking. That's the white man thing, and all that. But he came out. He came out and like I said, I got a certificate. I'm gonna hand it. But through one person, 30-something people came through, and I think that alone that speaks volumes. A lot of times it's about getting people who, and mind you now, I'm not gonna go say he was whatever you want to call it, citizen, but he's a man, and he got to take care of his family, but he has influence. And so when you can get the influences and get them to believe, that's what change looks like. So if that's a success story, I think it is.
No, that's an amazing success story, man. Thanks for sharing that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want Shelton, to chime in as well. I got to know Shelton over the last couple of months, and he's not a returning citizen, but you want to share your story, Shelton?
Well, sure. So there's people they call them felons, right? And they take all of their rights away and all of those things. But what about, sometimes the people don't go, you have an opportunity or responsibility to help out those when they come home, right? You did nothing different than they did, but they got in trouble. And, I feel like you have a responsibility to help your peers, if you will, right? Or just people that you can relate to, and you can see the difference, and you can see the difference in their life and how hard it is when they come home. And a lot of times they went in with a lot of things and came home with absolutely nothing, because people didn't treat them right, right? So there's a whole other struggle that a person have to go through before they get into the real struggle, right? And so just I didn't really pay attention to it until we got into this work. And then as we walk around the street, we see people that look like a young us about to get into whatever they're about to get into. And sometimes you wish there was a person that could have told you something or anything, like a lot of people, like I know myself, if there was some, if there was a resource and there was some type of way that I knew how to get a hold of some money to do business, I would have easily taken that choice, right? And most people would have easily taken that choice if they knew, even if you knew that there was a possibility, like there was something that you had to do, but you could still get a hold of money to do what you needed to do, because it was to access the capital that we did not have. But now it's so much access to capital, it's almost our duty as anybody walking around to make sure that we point them to that direction, because that's the only way, that's the only, it is the only other option. You know, a lot of people don't know the mind of the person in the street. You know, they got different judgments. They don't understand that, you know, they don't understand that the guy that they call a kingpin really feel like he's helping out the neighborhood because nobody else is, right? So they don't understand that part. It's not a thing a lot of times where they feel miserable or they hate what's going on. They truly feel that they're helping out the neighborhood because in some instances, people don't have another option, or so they don't know another option until we present the other option. All of it is just a lack of option and, you know, not knowing that, understanding that person. And, you know, how Chris was talking about earlier, you know, we find the boss. He wanna take care of his community. He wanna make sure his people can have, how they say, well, make sure his people can eat, right? And what is his
that's right.
Is what he wanna spread to his people, right? So when he get an opportunity to be a boss and have his own business, he feel great and he feel empowered again. That's that feeling, right? Because we just wanna be great. And whatever avenue come to us that allow us to be great, we're gonna be great in it. So if you're in the street, and that's the first opportunity that show up, you're gonna strive to be great. And so if we could put them in that position in another capacity, maybe it's less money, but it's not the money so much. After you could take care of your family, it's not about the money. It's about how you feel as a man, right? And how you give back to the community. And a lot of people don't understand that people that are out there, the hustlers and even the robbers, because the robbers feel like sometimes that they cleaning up these bottom feeders, they call them, that's selling death to their community. Everybody have something in their mind, you know what I mean? And they feel, nobody feel like the bad guy because people generally are not a bad guy. So we could talk to people all day, but we don't understand the mindset of who the person is. We get nowhere. We just talk. So we try to go out and listen and see what's going on and have an understanding. How they say, meet them where they are, right? Meet everybody where they are.
Yes.
And that's it, right? Yes. So whatever it is, like no judgment. No, I couldn't judge anybody. I don't have the, I couldn't judge anybody, right? So with that lack of judgment and just talking and seeing what's going on and what we could offer, I mean, it's a good feeling. And I know the feeling that the gentleman that Chris was talking about earlier was a great feeling for him. He was able to, you know, help people not have to worry about jail time. And you know, we just want to be great. So, I mean, every time somebody asks me a question about me, I tend to veer off to what is the, you know, what, right? Because that's what,
it's all good, man.
That's what it is. Like, that's what, you know, we get to see it. It's like, first of all, when you're 23, especially, I don't know, our generation, I'm about to be 50. We kept hearing, you know, won't be alive past 25, won't be alive past 25, right? So there's no plan. But to be able to live, like, it's a privilege to make it to 50 and see, it's like you can see the world all over again, right? You can see it, you already saw it. And if you can, if you can give somebody that is willing to listen to you the type of advice that you wish that you might have had, I think that's a benefit. And I think that's what is needed to repay for you being alive for this long.
So. That's some real game, man. You're changing people's mindsets, you know, and that's huge, you know. And I think, like you said, like you guys mentioned, you know, the drug dealer to the robber, you know, they all got the skill sets to be entrepreneurs and, you know, to be out here and be able to provide for their families. But it's like, you know,
you got to shift that energy into something positive so that you can be there for your family and the next generation. So, you know, I'm very, very grateful and thankful for you guys and what you guys are doing, man. It's inspiring for me. And, I want to keep making strides that impacting my community here in Baltimore, the same type of, strategy.
Yeah, that's good. And while Chris and I were talking, after I left from you on Saturday, Omar, we were talking about how important that we feel it is to make a merger between our two cities, and unify all of the cities, right? But it starts with the first one, So if we can, if we can blend this merger together, because we dealing with a state that is one of the richest states, and when the problems are there, the problems are the biggest problems, right? So if we can start to combine like this very easy line between Annapolis and Baltimore, right? To share stories and figure out what you don't have, we have, and what we have, what we don't have, you have, and figure these things out.
And collaborate. Partnership.
Yep. Right. Yep. And then there's Prince George's County government. There's Prince George's County. Same thing. And once somebody can see cities collaborating, it's very easy for the next one to collaborate. We set the example. We try to set the examples out here to show it first. It just got to be seen. Once it's seen, you can put your mind on it and start doing it. So I think we could get that started.
I love that. I love that. Collaboration, that's what we're all about. Leon and I, we've been doing this now for a couple of years now, bringing on resources, meeting with brothers and sisters who have been incarcerated. It is now time to, make a change and create these different pathways. So I know you guys are an organization, you're a corporation, you've got nonprofit in front of it, but you're still a corporation. Right. How can people assist you? What resources do you all need to do the work that you do?
Our main resource is money. We have the whole city for work, and our job is to get them to work, right? Make sure they have options. Yeah. So our job is we've gained the trust of the city. Now we need to put everyone to work as much as we can. Make sure we have resources for the people. So our biggest reach out is money. So that and everyone can tell, you can ask anybody about Weekend Friends. If you need a job, we're gonna find you. We're gonna figure out how to do it and make sure that you can work. Because we can't talk about financial literacy or options or anything like that if you don't have the starter point of having a job of a consistent income coming in each week before you can even think about budgeting. You gotta have something to budget. Even if it's a little bit of money, you can budget that, right? But you have to get started. The first part is a job. The old guy told me, work hard, pay your bills on time, take care of your family. But you got to work hard. That's the first part, right? And then before that, I guess you got to find work. So that's what we do as our economic, we call it sustainable community economic development. And that carries on for everyone. So when folks come home, everybody who's already home is fighting for the job before they can even think about getting the job, right? So we got to make sure that is even harder because people on the street don't have the jobs. They already in position. Folks just coming home fighting to get whatever they could get. So we need to spread that out and that'll ease us up a little bit. I think a lot of the violence will stop and all that because it's a lot of pressure. It's just pressure everywhere. Everybody know how that is when it's time to pay the rent and it ain't there.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Sign of eating and ain't there, that's pressure. That's when people start thinking different, right? So we try to make sure at least you know how much money you're going to make this week or this month so you can tell somebody, I don't have it, but maybe next week I have it. It's got to be consistent income, and that's what we try to push. So the main thing is the main thing is financial. The work is us, is manpower. So you can't really, manpower is manpower. We already have the manpower, but we have to make sure we can get people some income so they can start to move forward.
I love that, man. So how can people reach out to you guys? I mean, I kind of gave the name and the website together, but hey, give it to them again, man.
Yeah, so wecareandfriends.org. You see all the information. There's a few things that there's a few new items that have to go up, but you can always find what's going on with our board and what is the basis of what we do. We're also on Facebook, We Care and Friends, We Care and Friends, and We Care and Friends 2.0. You can find us on Instagram, same thing, We Care and Friends 2.0. We take donations on our website and on Facebook. There's always a link as well. And once you get with our social media, you'll see a bunch of events that we'll be doing around the city. Lots of fundraising events. So, you got anything, Chris?
All right, good. Yep, no, that's, I was about to go there. All right, good deal. Well, Christopher and Shelton, man, really appreciate you guys, man. Look forward to doing some things in Annapolis with you guys, and you know, coming up to Baltimore, you know, working together too. So really appreciate you. Leon, you got anything before we leave?
Man, this was a great episode, and truly grateful you guys and what you're doing in the communities, and definitely looking forward to collaborating and partnering with y'all in the Baltimore market as well, and seeing, you know, how many more lives we can impact together.
That's right.
Right.
That's
right. Thanks for having us, man. I appreciate that.
All right. No problem. So don't forget, I'm sorry, Shelton, go ahead.
No, that was it. I was saying thank you.
Oh, man, as always, man. So, you know, don't forget, you can look at past episodes of the Breakthrough Podcast on our website. We're at edacmorgan.com. That's edacmorgan.com. We're also on Instagram. You can find us as Ride Small Biz. All right. So until next week, continue discovering new pathways. I'll see you next week, Leon. And brothers, good to see you guys. And until next week, continue improve and progress. Peace.
Be blessed. Take care, fellas.
This is Mixed Media Production.